Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's our show. It's Bill and Wendy. Yay! We're 312-981-7200.
Wow, that's a great intro.
Yeah, I wanted to plant the seed of people being excited about the show, so that was my goal. Now, this morning, you had a very interesting political thought.
It's
I
really
hope
true.
I think this is a very interesting thought you had.
All right, first of all, welcome to Crazy Town.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we all live now.
Mm-hmm.
Just where do I even begin? Every newscast has covered it with information, confidential information leaked to Russia. Not leaked, spoken to Russia by our President Donald Trump.
Yes.
I said president.
Yes.
I'm not just calling him Trump.
Although, as I like to point out, he himself refers to him in the third person as simply Trump.
He does.
But I guess there's been a precedent set that when somebody reaches the office of president, we should refer to them by president and then their last name. So, yes.
President Donald J. Trump. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody happy?
Yes.
And the Washington Post reported it, and a lot of people were thinking it was fake news. And then our president, President Donald J. Trump, announces on Twitter, yeah, I did. So what?
You know what's interesting is last night I saw, Steve, help me with this man's name. It's H.R., and I want to say Puffin Stuff, but it's not.
McMaster.
H.R. Yeah. McMaster.
Right, the National Security Advisor.
He went out and said, no, the story in the Washington Post is inaccurate. But then Donald Trump today, through tweets, said, no, I have the right to reveal what I want to reveal.
I'll tell you what I told you in the office, but I have a couple of questions first.
Sure.
First of all, here's...
The answer is no.
All right. I bet you're right, Steve, because if you work for President Donald J. Trump and your job is to do what McMaster did.
Yes.
Do you believe the truth as you're saying it, or do you do as you're told by the president?
Well, there's a chance we're going to learn more. And McMaster, we just learned, is going to hold a briefing coming up maybe in 30 minutes or so. I don't know if word has filtered to the two of you yet.
Yes, it has.
Okay, good. So we're going to, in lieu of, we thought we're going to carry the Sean Spicer briefing. That's been, they're not going to have one today. McMaster is going to answer questions about this in about a half an hour or so. So we'll drop in and hear what he has to say. Because what he said yesterday, I mean, a couple of ways to look at it. First of all, he said, blanket statement, the story is not true.
Right.
So that covers everything. When he broke it down into specifics, he tended to dispute aspects that weren't actually in the story.
Right.
So I don't know which denial. I mean, you know, you can say he didn't deny it, but he did blanket deny it by saying the story is not true. He said, I was in the room. It just didn't happen.
So where in the chain of command, who's getting it wrong? Because obviously somebody said to McManus, you have to get out there and let the American people know that this story is inaccurate. And then he does that. And then Donald Trump himself tweets today, I
have not seen a contradiction like this in a week.
Right. Right.
But, you know, I thought about this, and it's like if our bosses told us to go on the air and say something, and I knew that it wasn't true, I would just not say anything.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't feel comfortable mentioning that at all.
Right.
It would be very difficult for me, knowing something is a full-blown lie, to lie to people. So I'm not saying McMaster, I don't know. I'm anxious to find out.
Part of any of this is, you know, whether it's high up in corporate life or anywhere, or married life, I mean, is you know, you choose your words carefully.
Right.
And that's part of what they did. And so you could argue that H.R. McMaster chose his words very carefully yesterday. And by a strict accounting, you know, everything he said was truthful. The problem is then the president the next morning sort of cuts his legs out from under him, as he did during the Comey firing, and saying, you know, I did this for humanitarian reasons. I shared this. Now, they're still insisting that they didn't identify sources, but the story doesn't say that they identified sources. The story says they revealed enough information that would allow other countries to figure out who the sources are.
So just by mere fact of saying it that way, that's almost a tip of your hand to say, here's what, even though I'm denying that this happened, it did happen.
Well,
'cause he suggested information that wasn't even alleged at that point.
Right. It was a denial of things that weren't accused,
right,
that weren't parts of the accusation.
So is that a lie?
I think it's carefully written words. I mean,
it's, you know what? It's like in a crime drama, like on an SUV or an SVU. You pick whichever one you want. Whenever they say, well, that woman couldn't have broken in here and killed the guy. And then they go, oh, who said it was a woman?
Right.
It's like that.
Right. And then Columbo says,
where's my eye?
And to dangerously oversimplify this, I mean, it could be, you know, if you and the three, if the three of you, you know, Bill, Wendy and Kevin were in a room, you know, for lunch and the door was closed. It was just the three of you. And in that room, then, you know, you two got into a heated argument.
Yeah.
And I would come to you later and say, hey, I've got information that the two of you were in a heated argument, but I'm not going to tell you who told me.
Right.
You know,
we'd know it was Kevin.
A way to deduce. Now, clearly, it's not that obvious in this case.
But it's similar because I kept thinking, you know, the whole administration keeps saying, well, there's obviously leaks here. So who's leaking it? But at this point, because there was such a fixed number of people in the Oval Office during this, they must know who the leak is from at this point, don't they?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't think so?
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that, Bill, because I don't. You know, because part of this is going to be out reporting, and then the intelligence community reached out to try to, you know, lessen some of the damage. So clearly people who were in the room by job told others in the intelligence community. So it could have come from someone outside the room. I think I have to look at the language again. I don't know if they confirmed it by someone, quote unquote, inside the room or not.
All right.
They may well have.
And if President Trump revealing confidential information is not illegal. I've learned that this morning.
They said last night that if anyone else did this, it would be illegal,
right.
But the president has the ability to do this and have it not be illegal.
That goes way back. If you think of the Valerie Plame case, remember she was an undercover CIA agent whose identity was revealed.
Yes.
And the president can declare that unclassified. By speaking it, he can declare something unclassified.
So, Steve, is there a moment as he's divulging this information to Russia? We've got other White House staffers there in the Oval Office. Can any of them say to Donald Trump, Mr. Trump, maybe it's best that we hold back on this conversation?
Who's going to say that to him? Who is going to step up and say that to him? Be honest. Mike Pence wouldn't even do that.
But shouldn't somebody have done that? The opportunity was there. He's giving away classified, potentially dangerous information. Couldn't somebody on the staff, regardless of their job, if it's vice president or somebody else, say, Mr. Trump, with all due respect, this might not be the time or place to have this conversation.
Ixnay on the awking day.
Right.
Right, something like that. I think it'd be difficult. You know, and the other thing was there are so many mistakes when it comes to the message here. They didn't allow U.S. reporters into the Oval Office to take pictures of the president and Lavrov and the ambassador. So what we have were Russian accounts of it, and they're yucking it up.
And they were allowed in, but we weren't.
Right. And it's just it's a terrible, you know, optic for the White House. And I don't know if you saw the thing, and I didn't see it till last night, but going into the meeting, it was Tillerson and Lavrov at the State Department, and there was a gaggle of reporters there, and they both talked about how happy they were to be meeting. And as they're leaving, the reporters are asking Lavrov, you know, hey, what about the firing of Comey? What do you think of that? And Lavrov turned, and he just sort of mocked them, like, oh, Comey was fired? Boy, tell me more. And it just was this incredibly sort of disrespectful way for a U.S. adversary to treat U.S. citizens. And I don't know, it just really, really struck me.
Just a citizen, a high-ranking...
an institution if it's the media, but just the way that he felt licensed to do that, like he could mock them alongside the Secretary of State. You know, it'd be like Tillerson mocking Russian reporters in Moscow.
Right.
I would assume the Russians wouldn't stand for that.
No.
But we did for this case.
And, Bill, you mentioned, you know, if someone else was there, couldn't they stand up and say, Mr. President? I started thinking about Mike Pence, our vice president. Do I have to call him Vice President Pence?
Yes.
And in a way, it's like guilt by association. Like, can't he say, Mr. President, I think we should rethink this? Or is he just letting Donald screw up? Because then Mike's thinking, you know what? I'll just let him do what he does because he's the president. And then if all things fail, I will become the president.
Right. Well, you know, look, none of us was in the room, so we don't know how anything was said or the context of it. So it's, you know, it's hard to say who might have interrupted or not. But it also could be the point where they didn't want to draw attention to what was being said. You know, maybe they'll miss it.
Sure. All right. We've got a bunch of calls and a bunch of texts, and we'd be happy to talk to you at 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break, and we will discuss this further in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Things is crazy. That's what they
crazy
are.
Crazy town.
It's crazy town. Going to take you to crazy town. all right. So we're talking a little bit about the leak. President Trump has said some things, given away a little bit of information to the Russians. And uh-oh, what happens next?
What does happen next? We're no experts, but the listeners are. Hi, Harold.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Confused.
Well, I know. I'm just thinking what you guys were saying is, that shouldn't somebody nudge him and maybe tell him, hey, don't talk about this. It's like, well, why is he in charge? He's supposed to be the guy telling everybody else what to do, and yet we've got to tell him. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean,
I'm the last person in the world to make excuses for Donald Trump, but you know how if all of a sudden you are given a job or a position where you really have had absolutely no experience doing that job? So right now, and again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying he's been thrust into this position that I don't know how anyone is ready for, especially somebody with no political background whatsoever. So all of a sudden, he's got to be making these split-second decisions, and a lot of times, he's not making the correct decisions.
First of all, Bill, I'm sorry, but he was not thrust into it. He fought for it. And, I could fight for it, too, but I'm not qualified to do that job.
Right.
And there's 200 million people in this country that are not qualified for that job.
Right.
And yet, we got one guy who's not qualified for the job, but is doing it. And it's just ridiculous. And I think it's time for people who are on his bandwagon
to jump off before it crashes.
Right. I mean, do you have any common sense? Look at what this guy, I mean, all he wants, he's just, talk about a showboater, what he called Comey.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is, he's my Russian friends, which, by the way, shouldn't have been in that Oval Office.
Where are the checks and balances? That's what I want to know. When Donald Trump was elected, everybody said, it's not just one man who's going to run this country. There are checks and balances. Has that been happening?
He's been trying to erase them, I think.
Well, it's happening a little bit more and more, but the Republicans have been reluctant to, be too critical of him because they need him to get their agenda. Even if it's not his agenda,
it's
their
parties.
Agenda, and they need all of that together. But you heard Senator Corker say yesterday that the White House is in a downward spiral.
Right.
Speaker Ryan, who's been, very reluctant to be critical of the president, was a bit stronger in his rhetoric earlier today.
Mitch McConnell has also said some things today.
This is new. Harold, thank you very much for calling.
You know what? Do you remember when Donald Trump's campaign first started to take off, more and more people were saying, who better to run the country than a businessman, because the country needs to be run like a business. But the problem is, when you're the CEO of a company, as Mr. Trump has been over the years, everybody who's working for you realizes that your word is the final word.
Because so you're the boss.
You're the boss. You sign everybody's paycheck, and ultimately it's his name on the company, not on the country. So that's the difference in having a businessman run it. He's used to everybody nodding and going, good call, sir. Whatever you said, absolutely. We must go in that direction. The country isn't like that.
No, and on my way in, and this is what I was telling you, should we take a break and say it after the news?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Because I got some startling information.
All right. So we'll do that, and then I know there's more calls and texts. We're 312-981-7200. We'll get some news, and Steve has the news, and then we'll continue this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And on the way in this morning, when I'm hearing all this stuff about Donald Trump, President Trump, revealing on Twitter that, he gave him some stuff. He told him a little something-something.
That's right.
I started comparing Donald Trump to someone, and having Donald J. Trump in the White House, honestly, is like having me there.
It's like having you be the president? Why do you say
this? Here's the deal. I, like Donald Trump, want people to like me. You know that if someone is mad at me or doesn't say hello to me, I will go out of my way to make them like me.
I've seen it happen many times.
Very similar to Donald Trump. He wants everybody to like him.
Right. There is that.
I, as you've known me all these years, offer way too much information.
Sometimes.
People ask me a question. It's not just a simple yes or no. I could see myself talking to Russian officials and going, here's something I want to run past you. I could just totally see me doing that.
All right.
All right. So,
so far, nothing you've ever divulged, though, has been a major security breach that could potentially bring down the country so far.
Yeah, but if I had that information, who's to say I wouldn't? I'm
all
really
right,
bad at
it.
Keeping secrets.
I get it. All right.
Okay, so we're similar in that way.
Yes.
You know me a long time. Very impulsive.
You are very impulsive, right?
Much like our president, Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, there's a similarity. All right, I see where you're going.
When I want something, I just go buy it.
Right.
The only difference is he has much more money than
I do. A
lot
more.
But I have no political experience. He had no political experience.
Yeah.
I mean, having Donald Trump in the White House is kind of like having me in the White House. Does that scare you now?
A little bit. Do you think that's part of what got him elected is that people saw a version of themselves in him?
I don't see myself in him. I don't.
You just see a similarity.
I see that, you know, I guess, yeah, we're similar in our ways, but anyone electing me to be the president of the United States, it would be a wasted vote. And I'm just comparing the two. We are very similar.
But you knew somehow to not run for the office of president. He did not.
Because he wants people to like him. What better way than to have people like you than if you win the presidency of the United States?
Whose theory was it? Somebody came up with this theory 2 or 3 weeks ago that said that no one wanted Hillary Clinton to win the presidency more than Donald Trump. Do you remember that? That quote was all over the place 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I thought, I don't know if I agree with that, because I think at some point, even though it went from being kind of a novelty, even for him.
Right.
Like at some point, as the numbers kept getting bigger and bigger, he went, wow, there's a chance of this. This might actually happen. And then just because he's so adrenaline filled, he wasn't going to back down. I mean, at some point he had to realize he might not be ready to be the president of the United States, but then you just go,
but ride the wave.
I got it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I do believe that. And then part of me, and I know I'm crazy. We have that in common too.
Yes.
Me and the Donald.
Yes.
Part of me is thinking, this is something that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to do anymore. So now it's like leaking the stuff on Twitter. Is he trying to get himself removed?
No, I don't think.
I don't think he is either. I don't think he's trying to get himself removed, because history goes on for a long, long time. And let's say this brings him down, because people have been saying since day one, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen and bring him down. Let's say this is the thing. History will always remember him in a very, very negative light. And I don't think he wants that legacy, do you?
No, but I'm just so puzzled with this behavior. And
right.
I know the Republicans have backed him since, well, before now.
Most.
Because it's like keeping the party alive. And it's funny, everybody thought the Republican Party was going down when, in essence, the Democrats did.
Do you remember, just before the election, days before the election, there were all kinds of stories going, I wonder if behind the scenes, the top Republican minds are getting together going, we got to do something because we can't run this guy. It was days before the election. And then all of a sudden when he won, everybody was all handshakes and smiles. Here, our guy. We knew.
But is this really? I just don't know. I just feel like, and I'm not educated on this stuff, because honestly, until Donald Trump became president, I never talked politics ever. I don't like to talk politics, but it's not necessarily talking politics. It's talking about what's in the news on the front pages every day. Hard to avoid it.
I don't know if this text is even findable at this point, because we've received many over the last hour or so. But there was one in particular that was incredibly disturbing to me anyway. I don't know if it bothered you as much as it bothered me.
Well, and we were talking about the information that Donald Trump shared with Russia.
That he's not even holding, as of today.
He's like, oh, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
What if they took Twitter away from him? Is it better we know this stuff, or would it be better to not know this stuff going on behind the scenes? I found the text, Bill. You're making a big deal of nothing, all caps.
I politely refuse to believe that this is nothing. This isn't
serious.
This is serious.
And for the other countries we're allies with.
Well, who said, Steve, somebody said today that they would take another look at whether or not they would share information with us based on this?
It was a European leader speaking on background, did not give his or her name, but said that their country would, if all of this of what is being reported shakes out to be true, that they would likely be more reluctant to share information in the future.
Which hurts us again.
Of course it does.
I mean, if you had a friend who couldn't keep your secret secret, would you tell that friend something again?
Well, it has more to do with, I mean, more than that, I mean, what we rely on and what we found after September 11th is that there wasn't information sharing within the government and among other governments. And one of the things they've really worked on is sharing that. So if we find that we're less likely to be receiving information from others, that it, you know, it's a risky venture for
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Here was Trump's tweet as of earlier this morning. As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled WH meeting, White House, of course, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety. Humanitarian reasons, plus I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. So that's him.
So
just
then he's going,
blank.
Here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, and this might be it in a nutshell. Ed has called us at 312-981-7200. Hi, Ed.
Hi, good morning. If he was sharing that information with the Prime Minister of Canada, England, or Germany, our allies, that's one thing. To share it with your enemy, or let's put it this way, a non-ally, that's something totally different. That's like giving information to the enemy, and that's not right.
Sure seems like that.
Yeah, sure does. Sure does to me, too. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Steve, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I will ask it anyway, because I thought about this last night and I thought about it again this morning. As I'm watching the news coverage of this story, they say if this is anyone else, this is illegal.
Well, right.
It's the president, so it's not illegal. Are there other things like that that the president can do that if anyone else does are illegal, but if you're president, you're allowed to do? Can you think of anything else?
I don't know. This has to do with the reason that's the case is because of he has the ability to declassify anything
sure.
that others don't. So, I mean, I think that's probably a singular exception.
You know how there's diplomatic immunity, that diplomats can do certain things that other people can't do?
Yeah.
I would imagine if that exists for diplomats, there must be another series of things that the president is allowed to do that we're not aware of. That's frightening to me.
Well,
can the president stab a guy? Can the president just go up to a guy and stab a guy?
On
and
Fifth Avenue?
He's the president. Fifth Avenue would be the place. Right.
No. The president is not above the law.
Except today.
Except
for this.
He's like Steven Seagal.
He's not above the law in this case. It's not, I mean,
it's not illegal.
It's legal for him to have done what he did.
Can I just please read this, and then we have to take a break, and you can all just digest this and think what you want. 815 has texted us, why do you people believe the media? I know you are part of the media, but I still have little faith in you, Bill and Wendy, to not believe the far-left media, who, by the way, are just angry. Also, I just wanted to say, if Donald did not run as a Republican, this would be played out much differently.
Incorrect.
I know.
Not correct. And Donald Trump...
Wait a minute. Let me just say this. Okay, we've had a couple of cases clearly where the administration has come out. Let's do the Comey firing. They have given one story, and the president has come out and given another one the next day.
Right.
Someone lied.
And it's the media, of course.
That's not a left-wing media. That's not a right-wing media. That is a clear contradiction in two messages that cannot both be true. Remember when Barack Obama was president and he took heat because he, I can't remember the leader now, but there was a foreign leader and he bowed to the leader.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And he, yes.
And it became a national outrage that he bowed too lowly.
We're America.
To
we
this
don't
leader.
Do that.
We
yes.
don't bow to foreign leaders.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's
but
not
we reveal secrets.
It's not a right or left. It looks like we might be hearing from General McMaster in just a couple of minutes. So
all right.
We just got the 2-minute warning.
All right, okay. Well, let's take a quick break. And it's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks. Stay close if you can, because Wendy and I are discussing the press conference we just heard. H.R. McMaster, who's the National Security Advisor, just spoke at the White House, mostly about what's gone on with the president either breaching or not breaching certain security details to Russia. All right. So question number one, Stephen.
He's going to be leaving. We've got Kim Gordon.
All right. Well, I'm sure Kim can also answer one or two of these
questions.
She
can answer better.
Okay. Well, that'll be fine, too. All right. So Steve touched on this a little bit right after the press conference, but this is something I'm extremely curious about. Several reporters asked the question about whether or not the story is true or false, right? And he said he was trying to differentiate between the story being false and the premise being false.
He said the premise is false.
Yeah.
So the premise being, I'm sorry, it's me again.
That's all right. Don't be sorry.
The premise being that the president, you know, violated sort of national security protocol by revealing things, and he betrayed of another country that gave us this code access only information. That's the premise, that the president didn't know what he was doing and may have done damage to our fight against ISIS and may have done damage to our relationship with the foreign company or the country that gave us that information, right? That's the overarching premise. And McMaster is saying that's just not true. What the president did was wholly inappropriate. In accordance with the meeting with these Russians. I'm sorry, wholly appropriate.
So the story, he's copping to the fact that the story itself is true, that Donald Trump was in the Oval Office with people from Russia.
Well, that's true,
And he gave them certain information, which he refused to describe exactly what it was because he said that that's a classification problem.
Yeah, he didn't go any further into the information, but he said that sources and methods, he said, were absolutely not revealed. But when it got close, was like, was this code-only access information? Did it come from another government on the idea that it would be kept secret? Those sorts of things he wouldn't answer based on security.
Okay. All right. Now, did you notice this? Mr. McMaster, yeah. Does the same thing that Sean Spicer does and that Kellyanne Conway does. And I have to be honest, the same thing that anyone who ever speaks for a president does, although they're doing it a lot more often, is there's a laughter in their voice at some point where they go, like I keep saying.
Right.
And let me one more time reiterate, you know, there's that, this is ridiculous that everyone in the room doesn't see it my way attitude.
Well, you know, look. If you're tasked with going out and defending someone today, and there's this huge firestorm over it, you're going to be on edge, right? You're going to be keyed up
a little bit,
and you're going to have your response to it. When you give it, and you think you've given it appropriately, but not to the satisfaction of the reporters, and they ask again and then again.
But Steve, does he feel that answer will quiet a room full of reporters that want to get to the bottom of this? Because there's no way in the world everybody, after he explains it, will go, oh, okay.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
And didn't he say, I'll take one more question, and then as it sounded like a loud child's birthday party, he just walked off and didn't take the last question?
Well, I think the inference from us was that this is going to have to be the last question, was referring to the next question. He was referring to the previous question.
Oh, all right,
so
I gotcha.
He finished the answer, said, I'm sorry, this is going to be the last question, and then he started walking off.
There was a question from a reporter, plain as day, you could hear, was confidential information released, and there was no answer.
No answer to that.
And also, he started one response with so, which was weird. Yeah. For me. And he said nothing jeopardized our security. Wholly appropriate was the catchphrase. It was, I thought, 8 times, but you got it right, Steve. It was at least 10.
Yeah, I heard it. I started, by the time I started counting, it was 10.
Steve, the answer to that question, where he says nothing breached our security or compromised our security, is what he said.
No way compromised sources or methods.
All right, so that can't be known yet, can it? That's something that only the future will be able to tell, right?
That's a good point.
No, they could know. I mean, that's something they could know, probably, yeah.
But if they gave away, because one of the questions here is which city were they talking about?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. So the idea was that the president told the Russians, yeah, and we're getting this out of, let's say, Raqqa. Raqqa is one area where ISIS has had some control.
Yeah.
And the idea is that, well, then now they know that the source is there so they can zero in on it. I thought it was interesting that H.R. McMaster said, well, look, we all know the cities that ISIS controls. It would have been interesting if a reporter had said, okay, then which one was it? and to see if he would have actually answered
well,
that.
Well, his answer would have been, no, that's a breach of security that I can't.
But he was saying that it's not a breach of security because we all know what cities they control.
Sure.
But I agree with you. I think had they tried to call him on it, he certainly wouldn't have revealed where it came
right.
from.
I just am confused when he was addressed. The first thing out of the box was, do you have anything to say about the comment that you made yesterday? No, I stand by my comment. I don't know. I just feel like at some point you go, yeah, maybe I didn't clarify it.
Well, he finessed it. He did. He finessed the answer because that's where he said, I stand by the comment that the premise of the story
is false.
Was false. And yesterday when he seemed to be indicating that the details of the story, the details that he articulated were false. Now, he was refuting things that weren't actually in the article. So today it's like, well, wait a minute. What about what's in the article? Are you saying it's false? And he said the premise of the article was false.
Yeah.
And that's how I started with the premise is the idea that the president acted inappropriately, divulged sources that he should not have. McMaster saying that's not the case.
Steve, is it appropriate for him?
Wholly appropriate.
Is it wholly appropriate for him, McMaster, on a day where you have such a huge news story, potential scandal, but certainly big news story, to say, we got to clear out of here. The president of Turkey is going to be here any moment.
Yeah.
Please, everybody get out. Is that okay?
Yeah. No, the White House is getting ready. President Erdogan is coming there, and he's saying, look, we've got this briefing in. I got to get going. I got another part of my job coming. He's going to be arriving here very soon. Yeah, that's within
that is acceptable.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
It's just like listening to a 10-year-old boy, like, who spilled the Coke on the couch?
Well, first.
And then I didn't spill it. I dropped it.
Right.
So
if
that's
somebody
false.
Somebody knocked it out of my hand.
I
didn't spill it.
I hate to be the skeptical, but I just.
The other thing we haven't talked about, and H.R. McMaster brought up very early, was the danger of these leaks and the fact that they will be looking to see where the information came from. He talked about a very small number of people who were in the room at the time. He was one of them.
I remember I said that a half hour ago.
Oh, yeah. But there's the reporting is that it seems to have come this story from, I would say, maybe the next ring or the ring out, the national security apparatus as they tried to clean up this and reached out to other governments in the reporting on the session.
So somebody in that room said to other people, I just came from this thing in the Oval Office. You're not going to believe what went on. And they could be the ones who leaked it.
The Russians.
Okay, we could do it that way, or in different words, we can say, hey, look, the president just did something that I was surprised by.
Yeah.
We need to give our allies a heads up that he did it.
Yeah.
You know, and look at it that way.
Why don't I trust a lot of the stuff coming out of the White House?
What?
Am I the only one?
Yes, you're the only one.
I don't know. Maybe I've been a sheep before. I don't know. I just find this stuff hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. We have to take a quick break, but 312-981-7200. Steve has to go get busy for the Wintrust business
lunch. Well, the president of Turkey is coming over, Wendy. He has to be
no,
on
he's
his...
getting a turkey sandwich before the Wintrust business lunch.
I'm sorry. All right, a break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I've been called a snowflake via text.
Yeah, you got my text.
I am pretty pale this time of year. I got to use my fake tanning stuff.
Yes.
And a word that I just don't, I can't stand... dealing with lib and then the tail end of something that you're not supposed to call someone who has challenges.
Oh.
And I'm really sick of...
Oh.
I would like to know if the Trump supporters were satisfied with that press conference. I was telling you off the air, it's like he really can't say anything that's going to convince anyone. But then if you don't have a press conference, it looks like you're hiding
something. Very suspect. Several people texted in saying nothing that they could have said at a press conference would have made you guys happy.
But if
I was a fervent supporter of Donald Trump's, I would still be wondering what exactly has gone on yesterday, today, and honestly for the past several months. Even if I was the biggest of biggest supporters, I would still go, okay, I backed this guy up and I like this guy, but there's a lot of things that just don't quite add up. This is one of them.
I agree with you. And there's one other text that I think we should read, and I can't find it right now, but something, you guys just can't get over the fact that Hillary didn't win. Here it is. No matter what the president does, the Democratic Party can't get over that Hillary lost. It's unreal. I know she lost.
Right.
I don't know that she was,
We understand the fact that she is not the president.
We get it.
Right. It's right.
But, and we've talked about this before. There have been elections where the person I voted for didn't win, but I was like, all right, well, you know what?
You still
fair and square.
You still hope for the best.
Yeah, and I still hope for the best. It's just making it harder every day to hope for the best.
Right. Right.
With Crazy Town here in the United States.
Did you see Dave Chappelle's comments yesterday?
No.
Dave Chappelle went on Saturday Night Live right after the election and said, hey, I didn't want Donald Trump to win, but he did win. Before we criticize, let's give this guy a chance. Let's not jump to conclusions. Let's see what happens and then make up our minds. And he said yesterday, and I quote, I effed up. He goes, I was so wrong. I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know what to think. I can't think about it anymore. I mean, yeah. I am hoping. I'm still hoping for the best, but I have a lot of doubts every day.
It's in all of our best interests for this to work.
I agree with you
100%. It is.
Did you know Hillary lost?
Yeah, I saw that in the paper. I read that in the paper. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. Kim has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. I got so many buttons.
You have one.
I know when you say it that way, it doesn't sound like there's a lot, but there's a lot. All right. We're shifting gears just a little bit to a story that is upsetting for different reasons. Where do I start with this? Okay. For a long time, Bill Cosby was one of my absolute idols. If you were a fan of stand-up comedies, you'd have to agree, I hope, that Bill Cosby was one of the most important figures ever in stand-up comedy. And then, not only did he revolutionize stand-up comedy, but he saved sitcoms on television. There was a time on TV where sitcoms were a thing of the past. Nobody was doing them correctly anymore. And Bill Cosby came along with The Cosby Show and just kind of made them relevant again.
We all wanted to be part of the Huxtable family. I guess.
Absolutely.
I really did. I mean, it was this up-and-coming family. He was
a doctor. His wife was a
lawyer.
Was
he an OBGYN?
Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting. I just made the connection
knowing
right
what
there.
Know now? Yeah. I guess
wow.
It is kind
and
of.
She was a high-powered attorney.
Which he is employing.
Right.
So, yeah, there was a lot of foreshadowing on The Cosby Show.
They had a great house, a great family unit. He was really a great role model as a dad.
You know, people in the African-American community have said not only was he a great role model as a dad, but he was good for the African-American community because it said to people, be affluent, go out and you know, reach for the highest goal you can and you can get there. And I mean, it was just good on every level. And it was really funny. You know, I'll never forget that conversation he had with Theo when Theo explained to him that he might not be going to college. And he said, I brought you into the world. I could take you out.
Yeah,
that was so realistic. It was funny and realistic at the same time. All right. So you all know about the fall of Bill Cosby. We don't have to detail that. But here's what's upsetting. Bill Cosby's daughters, Ensa and Erin, are now speaking out, talking about their dad, and they claim that their dad, Bill Cosby, is being treated unfairly because he is African American. I don't agree with that even the smallest iota. I say, regardless of who this was, with the allegations that were made by so many different women, that it has no... He could be white, he could be black, he could be yellow, he could be green, he could be blue. This is a horrible, horrible thing that has happened, and it has nothing at all to do with his race at all.
And he has come out the first interview before he goes to trial. In his first interview in over 2 years, the disgraced 79-year-old comedian said he does not want to take the stand in his upcoming sexual assault trial and suggested some of the accusations against him are motivated by racism. So he actually said that from his own lips.
Yeah.
He also expressed concern that participating in more than 30-minute interview with SiriusXM's Michael Smirkanish, that's a weird name.
Michael?
could cause trouble for him. So it was an unedited chat. It was aired during the Michael Smirkanish program on the POTUS channel, the Politics of the United States channel, on Tuesday morning.
An interesting choice if you're not doing a lot of interviews to select that one.
Interesting.
You know, because he is what they call in the business a great get, despite what he's done or is alleged to have done. This is an interview that everybody wants. Everyone wants to have a sit down with Bill Cosby and find out what's what. So it's very strange that'd be the direction he would take.
And he doesn't want to take the stand. I understand that.
Well, his lawyers are saying at this point he's blind. He can't go on because he's blind. Others have said he's too old, that this would be really bad for his heart to be up there. But, you know, if you do something or you're alleged to have done something, you got to defend yourself.
Defend yourself or admit it. It's right. One or the other.
Right, right. But isn't it upsetting that he or his daughters would allude to the fact that he's being treated unfairly because of the color of his skin?
It has nothing to do with
that. It has nothing to do with it. And I'm sure there's a lot of times, if you're not the prototypical white person in America, that you are treated differently because of the color of your skin. But I can't buy it in this case. Nobody wanted to see Bill Cosby fall the way he's fallen. Nobody wanted to see that. And so many people, and I got to admit, myself included, probably gave him a little extra belief because he was Bill Cosby.
Benefit of the doubt.
Without question.
I know. He said that he noted he has been absent from public life since dozens of women accused him of sexual abuse. Here's what Bill Cosby said this morning on on XM Sirius. Quote, I have not performed in over 2 years. I have not spoken at a graduation in 2 years or even to speak to an incoming high school freshman class to give them some idea of what they are going to face and what they ought to do.
He, by the way, this was a regular thing for him. At the end of his school year, Bill Cosby went out of his way to speak at any school that would have him. And why wouldn't you want Bill Cosby to do your commencement address? That's quite a get. So Bill Cosby would be half funny and half very realistic about your place being, you know, the students that are graduating, your place in the world and what you need to do to keep this world, to make the world a better place. That's why, I mean, you could try to dissect it all day long. It's so bizarre that he did the things he did because it was so important to him for the world to be a good place to live in. And yet, all that said, he was, if the stories are true, doing horrible, horrible things behind the scenes.
But that crazy dichotomy happens in a lot of people.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I mean, you don't think it can because it's like you're conflicted inside, but I don't know. Maybe there's some feeling of what you've done to try and then make the world a better place. I don't know. When asked about his declining health, Cosby said this, my health is good. I am well. The glaucoma has been known to me for decades, many, many decades. And it is now that I, after my exams have been registered, I am registered in Massachusetts as legally unsighted. And trust me, I have some bumps on my forehead and eyebrows that prove that are certain things that I have walked into. When we met him at the Chicago Theater, he was having a difficult time seeing as well.
Yeah, he was.
And yet he was still performing. So what does your sight have to do with you testifying?
I don't think his sight should enter into it, or his age, or his failing health. I mean, for all these women whose lives were altered dramatically by things he, again, was alleged to have done. I'm sorry he's getting older, and I'm sorry his eyesight is failing. But you have to own up to it. You have to do something. It's been so hard for me, you know. The reruns of the show aren't on TV much at all anymore. I don't remember the last time I saw
they were
a rerun
pulled,
of the Cosby
correct?
Show. Yeah,
because they would have been on nonstop still.
Right, but it was hard for them to attract sponsors for obvious reasons. I can't even, like, I used to listen to him every once in a while. I would find a YouTube bit, and I would just, like I do with all my favorite comics, I would listen to 15 or 20 minutes of him. It's hard for me to even crack a smile at anything he says at this point. Just because of the history, you know? It's just not funny anymore. And it used to be so funny to me. And now it's just not.
I hope whatever happened, justice is served. That's all I'm
hoping
for. That
would be nice. That would be really nice. But it's just, it's unfair in a world where you are, my guess is, you are very often treated unfairly because of your skin in a case like this, it's not fair to all those people who are treated unfairly because they're not white people. It's unfair to say my dad or me, if you're Bill Cosby, I'm not getting a fair shake because I'm African-American. No, you're not getting a fair shake because you may have sexually assaulted countless women. That's why you're not getting a fair shake.
And he kind of defied those odds, being an African-American.
Big time.
So
yeah, he was the first.
He was privileged.
Right.
So I don't understand how now all of a sudden, you know, it's because I'm black.
He was the first African-American to get co-starring billing on a network television show.
That's
groundbreaking. Yeah, with Robert Culp.
That was a great show.
Groundbreaking. No one had reached that yet. And Bill Cosby changed that and made that, you know, a thing that is so important. I mean, you can't even begin. It's unfathomable to me that not that long ago in the 1960s, if you were a black actor, you couldn't get co-star billing on a television show. Well, he changed that.
God, it was only 1960 when that?
It was in the early 60s, yeah. Yeah.
Not that long ago.
No, not at all. All right, we must take a break. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we've got more show for you. It's Bill Laughlin, Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, first-time dads or people who have just had babies, you might want to tune into our stream of consciousness on the... Where do I even tell
people
to go?
It's on the stream, and it's on the internet, and it's
on... WGNradio.com.
It's on there.
Click the bonus stream.
It's on CLTV.
No, we don't get CLTV.
We're not on CLTV? Why do I dress so nice?
No, we don't even get local access.
We're not. Is there in building? Like if people want to see it on closed circuit? No?
I don't think so. But we're going to be talking to a guy who's written this book called Diaper Dude. And I got to tell you, I knew when you had your babies. And boy, two at once.
Yes, twins are, for people who have not heard the show before, twins are when you have two babies at one time, not at the exact same second. There was a minute that elapsed between, but yeah, you're right.
I can't tell you how difficult that must have been. I know you can tell us because you lived it, but just having one, I never babysat, I never did anything, and when Michael was born almost 18 years ago, Jim jumped right into the role. I mean, he may have changed more diapers than I did.
You know, it's so funny because if you go, like, I had never changed a single diaper in my entire life. And then once the girls were born, I was changing a dozen or so a day.
And just, I mean, without even thinking about it.
I got really good at it. I could do it in record time. I could do two at once.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I got really good at it. And then after they stopped using diapers, now I've not changed another one in a long, long time.
Well, the irony is your girls will be changing your diapers someday.
Yeah, someday. That's a nice change of pace.
And there's two of them, so they could share the work.
Yeah,
so see, it'll come back to help you.
Right. Everything's cyclical, isn't it?
But there are so many things, and Kevin, someday you'll have kids. And are people starting to bother you about that now that you're married? Because I hate when people do that.
Oh, now that I'm married?
Yeah.
It was happening before that.
Was it happening before?
Engagement, you know. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why does anybody else care when you have kids? And, you know, some people choose not to have kids.
People want to further the storyline. They just assume
their business.
Once you got married, well, now you got to have it. You just got married. You better have a baby soon.
I say, you know, get a car, which you did.
Yeah.
Now get a house.
Now you got to get a kid.
Get a house?
Get a house
first.
Yeah,
get a house.
Are these like the laws? Are these the rules?
There are no rules.
Guidelines.
But I will tell you, there are way cooler things now.
Than babies?
Than houses? I got a PlayStation 4 already. I should be
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm on Kevin's side. That is way cooler than a house or a baby.
There are just way cooler items that you can have for parents now. I mean, first of all, cloth diapers when we were babies.
Yeah.
I don't know how people did that. I know some people still prefer to use cloth diapers because of landfill and all that stuff, but...
It's quite a hassle.
The diaper genie, had that just come out when your girls were born?
We had a diaper genie. It's a flawed system.
I loved it.
Did you?
Yeah. You had to figure out how to use it, but it would just basically turn used diapers into a giant sausage link.
Yeah, and I will never have breakfast at your house, but yeah.
I don't have babies anymore. But lots of things came out that were really cool. I had a diaper bag for Michael that looked like a diaper bag. I think it was a backpack, and it had like a little blue teddy bear on it or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, the backpack is really cool. And then when Dylan was born, there was this diaper dude messenger bag. And I thought it was so cool. Jim was, I was working. He would be dropping the kids off at daycare or taking them somewhere. And he didn't want to have this little stupid blue bear hanging there. So I got one of these diaper dude messenger bags, and that's who we're going to talk about. I just put two and two together.
Perfect.
He wrote a book, From Dude to Dad, and now it's Diaper Dude, The Ultimate Dad's Guide to Surviving the First 2 Years. And I would say once you get past the first 2 years, it's easier, harder in different ways, but it's, you're totally responsible then for the first 2 years.
For every minute.
So if you've just had a kid or you know someone or you're pregnant, this would make a great Father's Day gift. So we'll talk
to
the diaper dude.
Although that PlayStation 4, Kevin, to your credit, that does sound like a nice option.
Great.
Yeah.
We registered when we got married 20 years ago for Super NES. That was one of the wedding gifts
mm-hmm.
we registered for, and the Jonathan Brandmeier Show purchased that for us.
It's a nice gift.
It was a nice wedding gift,
yeah.
And we played it a lot our own selves, and then when we have kids, they play it too. So someday, Kevin, that PlayStation...
It'll be outdated by the time
I'll have a new one. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Dylan, who's 14, set up all of our old games on one TV in our basement.
Mm-hmm.
The Atari's there, Sega, all the old ones.
Oh,
so
that
it'll
sounds good.
Definitely
you
come
can still
back.
Play it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Kevin, Kevin with the final word.
That means you'll have to share.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Maybe your kid will play Elder Scrolls with you.
Okay, now we're talking. I'll name him a Norlon, assuming it's a him. Anyway, let's wrap
or
up. We got
girl.
Go
that's one of those names that works for either sex, Kevin.
Yeah, you're
fine
right,
either
you're
way.
Right.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get some news in, and then we're headed to the stream. We hope you'll join us. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.